B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And 8.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can get us on the Twitch app. You can watch us, twitch.tv. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Check that out. Also, get our app. We have an app. A lot of people, how do I listen to you? Get the app. 98.5, The Sports Hub app. You can hear the podcast, listen to the station live. All of those things. Now, Rich, I was unaware of this, but we had our first Zoom meeting as a show yesterday, and you brought up that the station appears to be losing one of our foundational pieces.
This was a shock. This was something that I had no idea was going to happen, and I saw it tweeted, and there wasn't any kind of warning. It was, this is it, and I'm done.
Goodbye, and Tony Maserati.
What's that? Yes. See you, Tony Mas. No. And this is a gentleman that I love when we have on the show. I like this guy a lot. He pisses people off. He pees on the anthill. He uses
a landline.
He does use a landline, usually in our kitchen, which was always strange.
Yes.
The big old cord. Like, we'd be going in to go get something out of the refrigerator, and there's Dan just sitting there. Dan Shaughnessy.
He's a big fan of Bill Walton. He did not like it when I hung up on him.
He did not, but he told you that. He did not pussyfoot around.
He was like, which one of you guys hung up on Walton? And that was when we first were starting, and the redhead did not bless us yet. The lodge had yet to open its doors.
They had not. But Dan Shaughnessy tweeted this on it was the day before yesterday, the 15th. Yeah, day before yesterday. It was on Tuesday. But one final Dan's dates. Tuesday, September 15th, 2020, Shaughnessy, no longer part of 98.5 The Sports of Midday. After Tuesdays with Zoe, Beetle, Gresh, and Tangway, it's over. Enjoyed it. Now, I don't know why it's not moving on, but I do know that Dan Shaughnessy was someone that we enjoyed having on our show, and I know that we had so many great memories on the TNR show, and Mike put this together.
This is Dan Shaughnessy saying congratulations to Touch and Rich on 10 years. Even though you've been mean to me at times, you guys are pretty funny. Way to go. 10 more.
Big hair day.
A fresh bottle of Pantene. I was the classiest carrot top in the press box. Squish. My frizz factor at 10. My Fenway fluff fro bro. Do you know the fro? Do you know the fro? Do you know the fro? Squish.
Do you know the fro goes down as the one bit that, Fred, I think that you and I might be the only people who found entertaining.
I thought it was fantastic.
It was Dan Shaughnessy's afro throughout time, and it would tell a story, and it had an intro that, if you didn't know the concept, it was...
Hey, this is Dan Shaughnessy's hair. Dan Shaughnessy's hair.
Hi, my name is Dan Shaughnessy.
And I have one question. One question. Do you know the fro?
Do you know the fro?
Do you know the fro?
That was the sound of his hair.
Now, do we have the audio of when we stuck things in his hair?
Okay.
We have
that, yes. So there's one thing that I was not there for. It was the day that I was out, and Dan Shaughnessy was in studio, and I think he was actually filling in for me. And, there was, as we do, sometimes when we have a guest fill in, it's like, all right, what are we going to do with the guest? I mean, what do they bring that we could, have some fun with? And I don't know how the idea came out, but when you guys said it, I cringe so much And I was like, I'm so glad I'm going to be gone when this happens. And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant idea.
It's super brilliant.
It's brilliant in my eyes because it's just so ridiculous. I have never heard this. As a matter of fact, I know you guys did it. And I've never wanted to hear it because I was afraid I would cringe too much. But Fred, what was the idea that you had when Shaughnessy was in for me that day?
How much stuff we could stick in his hair. And then it would sit. Like, if you put stuff in his afro, because Shaughnessy, of course, has a big red afro, and just how much stuff would fit in there. Because we've often hypothesized about, you know, Bob Ryan desperately needing a pencil and just reaching into Shaughnessy's fro to get one out of there. And then I fantasized about being behind him in a press box and just sticking things in his hair while he wasn't paying attention.
Right.
But it was time for science. It was time to put the
squish
rubber to the road and find out exactly how much you could fit in his hair.
So for the first time, I'm just hearing, this is just a small, like, minute-long clip. I haven't heard any of this.
Bird's in studio, and he's sticking... I don't know what's on the clip, but he's sticking either pencils or Q-tips into his hair.
I think we did both, actually.
No, we did both.
We did both.
No,
because
with the Q-tips, we just ran out of Q-tips. Right, this is pencils.
So you started with Q-tips?
Yeah. We put like 152 Q-tips into his hair.
We emptied the box, and we're like, oh, okay, this is it.
I want to ask you 1,000 questions, but I'm afraid that they're going to be answered here in this clip.
All right, so this is the pencil. So obviously, Dan's old school. You know, he had a flip phone. He used the phone, the landline. Everything was on Manila pads, the legal pads. And here is Dan.
The humidity has made the fro even greater than usual.
It's a big hair day.
It's a big hair day.
It is.
So we have a game we want to play, and it's a gambling game. And we have two items that we want to see how many of them we can stick in your fro and have them stick.
Just like in Jenga? Did they build the tower there?
It's more just like how much can it hold.
Okay.
The power of it. Now, what is your bet on pencils?
I said 3, you said 5, and Lockhart said the whole box.
Party right. Like a field of grain.
So here we are, is that Dan Shaughnessy is here.
He's right, got 4
so
in.
So you're out of the competition.
I'm out of it, yeah.
And I'm turning to look from one side to the other. And nothing's
moving.
They're
sticking beautifully.
5.
Ralph,
I had a feeling doing this in August.
6. Oh, my God.
6 pencils in the fro. 7 pencils in the fro.
8.
This is like when Johnny Bench was seeing how many baseballs he could hold in one hand. You know.
That's 8.
Yeah.
Going for 9. Yeah. Money, it's 9.
You got the birds a lot, Bushel.
That's
you.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to hurt them.
22.
Yeah. Dan.
How many are in a box?
24.
24. I think we should go for the box.
Maybe 22. You know, yeah. 23.
You know, like. And I got to tell you, these are legitimately.
24, yeah.
Dan.
Wow.
It's 24.
Look at that.
Pencils 20, in his throat.
He did not want that on video.
That's true. That was one of the rules, Rich. One of the rules of him doing it, Rich, is we couldn't film it. We weren't allowed to film it.
So 24 pencils. Every pencil, apparently. I didn't remember.
Stuck the landing. You said all the pencils in the box.
So hang on. Anyway.
And he
so
was turning all, his head to and fro. No pun intended.
So when you asked him to do it, like, did you tell him before the break that you were going to do this? Or was,
yes.
Okay. All right. And what was his reaction? We said, we just want to see how much stuff you can hold in your afro.
He's just like, just don't film it. I don't want it filmed.
Yeah.
And so we're like, all right. I don't even know if we were on TV or like what the deal was at the time.
Remember.
It was Twitch, but we
had just moved into this building probably a couple weeks before that.
Yeah, so we had to like cover the Twitch camera.
Exactly.
And so, we couldn't have the fro being, he didn't want any historical evidence of it.
Now, when you went from pencils to Q-tips, you keep the pencils in the hair?
No. That wouldn't have been science. No, we took the pencils out, but the Q-tips, it just got old because like then Bert started putting in like 8 at a time. Like just handfuls of Q-tips and just ramming them in there. So, yeah, he probably had, well, like 150 Q-tips in his hair.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has a nest. I mean, he doesn't need a pocket protector. He just got a fro. Like, he could have, like, probably some of the pencils would have fallen out if he would have, like, walked around. But he could legitimately get 10 pencils in there and have a day. Like, just go around, and if he needed a pencil, just take it out of his throw.
Just pull it right out.
Yeah, he's Inspector Gadget. So so I'm sure when he looks back at his time at the station, if he's indeed done, that will be the highlight of his life, is that we put 24 pencils into his fro, and that was it. Yeah. An audience of one, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, that's one of those that, like, I swear to God, you and I are only the ones who would find funny. And I don't even know if it's funny. I'm just like, it's like more just so uncomfortable. Like, what does Dan say when the bit's over? And like the break's, what does he say in the commercial break?
Nothing.
Nothing. No, he just moves on.
He just got up and left. Yeah, like nothing had happened.
Yeah, just like, yeah, that was my fro.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
I missed Dan Shaughnessy.
But you can hear in my voice, I'm like, oh boy, this bit's going to suck. And then when the pencils just started going in, I got a little excited. I started thinking, well, is frozen.
Did you start putting change in there too?
I don't remember that. I don't remember.
I just remember the Q-tips and the pencils. That's all I remember.
It was such a roller coaster of emotions, Rich. It's really hard to remember every thought that day. Mm-hmm. But there you go.
Guys, Mr. Dan, a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame with Q-tips in his hair.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna have a dandy red head of curls,
sure.
Susan, I can't Photoshop, but someone please match up Inspector Gadget and Dan with the glorious fro and the tools hidden in it.
Yeah, I mean, we should have seen if we could have fit more stuff in his fro, but I mean, obviously, time was of the essence. We only had Dan for so long.
I liked Dan. Dan was fun. Dan was when he filled in, he was great.
Well, we found the Hank Aaron home run ball. Well, he was in there. He just had it up there in his fro. He had forgotten all about it. All right, Dave Richard, his first appearance of the season, fantasy football guru. He will be joining us. Your call, 617-779-0985.
The year was 1986. Happy Days was ending its run. So with Donnie Most off the tube, Ralph Mouth, I was now the most famous fro in town. The Fenway press box was packed. I accidentally blocked the view of my fellow writer, Bob Ryan. So in order for Bob to see the action, he had to part me like a field of grain. And then it happened.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the back! It gets to Buckner!
The color of my Fenway fluff matched the anger of Red Sox Nation, and my towering tresses deflated with sadness. Squish. Do you know the fro? Squish.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Touch Rich. Touch Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I hate this song.
Why?
The video for this song was so frustrating. 98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Touch Rich. This is The Tubes.
Right.
She's a beauty. And then they found this woman who I guess was dating the singer, or at some point they dated, and she was no beauty, I can tell you that.
The song is good. The video sucks, I agree.
I don't know if this is a good song.
I was never a big fan of the song. It's fine.
Pretty girl. Just everything you dream about.
You like Talk to You Later better than this?
Talk to You Later.
I'm not really overly familiar with The Tubes.
Their only other hit, so that's why I'm asking.
Are they from here?
No, they're from the West Coast.
Oh, San Francisco, I believe. One of them hippy-dippy San Francisco acts. Never a huge fan of The Tubes. But someone whose teams aren't going down the tubes, why not? Dave Richard, he is the senior fantasy writer for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Dave Richard, hello, sir. Good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, Fred. This is what it must be like to hear angels sing, because it's been so long since I've heard your voice, and it's great to hear it. Good morning to Rich as well. I actually met Rich back during Super Bowl week when I accidentally bombed his radio interview with Will Brinson. That was 6 months ago. Nobody remembers it but me, but that's kind of how I met Rich.
Well, I do remember that, yes. I think that something happened where I don't think you'd realized we were on the air at the time, and I felt like
it was my most embarrassing moment from Super Bowl week, and trust me, there were a lot of them. I'm having a conversation with you and Will while you're on the air, and I don't realize that you're on the air, and I'm just thinking like you're in a break talking, and then I like scurried out of there once I realized what the hell was going on and was embarrassed to see you again.
No, I think you responded to something I was actually asking Fred in my headset.
I'm such an idiot.
Well, listen, if you interrupt that Brinson interview, that's really inexcusable. There's no time.
I'm lucky that you invited me back on.
What celebrities are you playing with this year? You generally have some known names that you are in known names that you are in a league with. Do you got anyone?
I'm going to disappoint you. I don't really have any with celebrities. The ones I'm helping, I don't ever tell who I'm like helping out with their fantasy leagues. I'm in one league. You know, I'm in leagues with like are fantasy analyst celebrities now, like. You know who all like the big name fantasy guys are from ESPN and everywhere else. Right. Like I'm playing in leagues with those guys, of course, but I'm in a league with professional wrestler Eric Young, who I think is the champion right now of TNA.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, listen, it's either him or Brad Pitt when it comes to A-list celebrities around the world. So I got him.
Yeah, he's awesome. All right, Dave Richard. Now, I auto-draft this year as I was in rehab, so I had my rehab draft, and it seems like I got an A-minus from the people at the draft, so it seems like I'm cooking with gas this year, but I do have Saquon Barkley. And Saquon Barkley, what was going on in week one, in your opinion, and is this something to be concerned about?
Well, let me just tell you in technical football X and O terms what was happening. His offensive line sucks. It was brutal. They were beat up. He had no room to run. The Steelers have one of the best run defenses in the league. It's going to get better. I just don't know when it's exactly going to happen, because this week he's got the Bears on the road, and Chicago's run defense isn't exactly a sieve. So I think you could expect Barkley, you better hope that he keeps catching the ball out of the backfield. Now, here's what's going to happen is if he has another bad game this week, people are going to start to come at you in your league, and they're going to be like, hey, man, looks like Saquon Barkley isn't doing what you thought he'd do. Here, I'll give you James White and a stick of gum, and you can give me Saquon Barkley, and I'll take him off your hands. Like, they're doing you a damn favor. You know it's not the case. You know that Saquon Barkley is a great running back, and you know that he's going to get the touches. You're going to have to ride it out. It's just not going to be a pleasant experience early on. This was one of the reasons why I did like Ezekiel Elliott, at least in non-PPR and half PPR, ahead of Saquon Barkley on draft day. But he'll be fine.
Right. Real quick, don't all auto drafts get good grades? Because if they didn't, wouldn't they be admitting that their rankings suck?
Shut up, Rich.
I mean, maybe, but why wasn't not an A+? Why was it just an A-?
It's to keep the scent off that they're just saying that because, hey, look at how awesome did.
The biggest problem I have with auto drafts is that they take your kicker and your defense way too early. Like, I bet Fred's defense was taken in like round 6 or something like that, and it was totally.
I'll tell you, my defense is San Francisco, so probably, and then I have Lutz.
Yeah, right. You were probably the first one to take a defense, and that was because of the auto drafter. I wish they would make the setting so that the auto drafter won't take a defense for you until like round 10 at the absolute earliest.
They should at least have something for people in rehab that don't have access.
Right, like you
to
should
a
get
phone.
An extra pick.
Yeah, exactly.
You should get an extra pick.
Is there a
like
backup?
An extra third round pick.
Is there a tight end? Because I had as my backup that tight end, that long haired fella from the Cowboys, and he's out. Is there a backup tight end that you could suggest for the people?
Well, listen, I know you love going after Jets in fantasy football, and I think you can find a decent one in Chris Herndon. He's at least going to get a lot of volume. And look, the Jets are gross. They're not going to be a good team this year. But at the very least, Chris Herndon should get a lot of targets from week to week. I think O.J. Howard is another one. He might be better than Gronk by the time the season ends. He's just moving a lot better, playing a little bit more than Rob Gronkowski. He's a good one. And here's one more. Logan Thomas. I really wish I could have talked to you a couple weeks ago because I was all over Jonnu Smith, who scored in week one. Here's another tight end. Logan Thomas with Washington. He also scored in week one. He also had 8 targets. They are at bare bones when it comes to wide receivers in Washington outside of Terry McLaurin. And so Logan Thomas is going to keep getting opportunities, and he's taking on Arizona this week. That's a team that typically gives up a lot of points to tight ends. Maybe he's on your waiver wire, and you can scoop him up and use him.
All right. Well, I have a newcomer to fantasy football on the line, and he would like to talk to you. He's very into it. Milo, go ahead, sir.
Hi. Okay, I have a question. Do you think Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram together would be good or bad?
Between the two of them, one should go off each week, and I'm sure there were plenty of weeks last year where both of them went off. And when it comes to Saquon, if you draft a teammate with him, it almost doesn't really matter because he should be good. I'm telling you, what we saw last week is going to be the worst from him. He'll get increasingly better as the season goes on. You just have to be patient. And the same thing with Ingram. And I actually like Ingram's matchup this week against Chicago because he's taller than their safeties and he's faster than their linebackers.
Milo, is there anything else you'd like to ask as you take your team from a win in week one into week two?
Yeah, Daddy, my win when the person wasn't even playing.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you did win.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. What was I going to say?
Well, that's the touch your spirit right there.
Oh, fine. That's something. So, Jay just texted me. Someone likes me.
Okay. Well, great. A girl likes you. Thank you.
Wow.
Appreciate that. Okay, bye. All right, well, there you go. It's the toucher sharing too much on the air.
How's it? Chicks dig fantasy football players. Absolutely. I think that's what we can get down with.
Are you gentlemen playing fantasy football, yes. John and Rich?
I am, I actually have Saquon Barkley. So this
so
helps.
Do I.
Yes.
This is the first year that I'm not playing because my friends suck. We couldn't get it together, and it stinks. So although I am kind of living vicariously through my son, who is in 2 leagues, and I will be using your advice for him this season.
All right, so Gabe, you're on with the great Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave. Just quick question. I have Jonathan Taylor and Hines. Are both worth keeping for the rest of the way because I'm running back short and wide receiver heavy? Or should I maybe shop Taylor for a more proven running back, half-point PPR league?
All right, Gabe, very annoying sounding. Go ahead, Dave.
So usually you want to have running backs that play a lot, catch a lot of passes, and have the chance to score a lot of touchdowns. That happens to be both Taylor and Hines. I would wait and see how they do this week against who are they playing? I don't know. All of a sudden I'm blanking on who they're playing. Minnesota. That's a defense that has some holes in it this year. I can't believe I just forgot that. The call really threw me off. Taylor's value is sky high.
Could you suggest something for me?
I mean, I don't want to talk bad about him.
Talk bad about me. John Taylor, it's a non-PPR. David.
Can you get Milo back on the air, please?
Oh, Milo, he doesn't know what he's talking about, so a girl likes him. Hooray.
All right.
It's probably a guy dressed up. It's probably an internet guy.
What?
I don't know. Catfishing.
Okay. He turned out to be a pretty good caller after all.
Yeah, absolutely. He did. All right. Very good. Dave Richard, after all, is our good friend. Dave, thank you so much. How do people experience you outside of this radio program?
I'm on Twitter at Dave Richard, all one word. And today, noon Eastern, starts and sits on Fantasy Football Today live on CBSSportsHQ.com. It's our 24/7 streaming sports site for sports news and analysis and highlights. It'll make you a smarter sports fan.
Dave, you are the man. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it.
I'm proud of you, Fred.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much. There you go. And let's go to Brian. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so while you were gone, Fred, I don't know if you were aware, but Nick and Joe Murray made a Bruins rap. And after listening to the wonderful Miami Bucket Boys rap yesterday, I didn't know if you heard this, but it was awful. You need to tear them apart.
Okay, because I know Joe has penned a new song about the Celtics. Is that ready? Ready, young Nicholas? It's not ready. Okay. Wait, is this for someone to edit and to put together? Can we hear it now? Yeah, all right. All right. So, Rich, would you like to come back and we could maybe hear the Bruins song and maybe the Celtics song?
Yeah, I mean, we could do that, sure. Yeah, I've heard the Bruins one, but the Celtics one is new.
Okay. Is it the Bruins one? Will I want to hear it?
You know what? It's fine. I thought it was pretty good. I just get excited when people on the show do stuff on their own.
I know that
crap.
I want to hear.
I love that. Like, I don't want to discourage that from happening.
I'm not discouraging anything. He made a Celtics song. I wanted to know if we could hear it. That's
yeah.
all.
No, I'd love to. Can will it be ready? Because I know that Nick is the he's the Dr. Dre in this production team.
Well, in fairness, Nick does have to turn on Twitch. So I don't.
Is he giving you a thumbs up? Can he have it ready next break?
I don't
break?
Know. He's
there was a finger involved there, but I don't know if it was a thumb.
Well, listen, we'll see what we have and we will come back with
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, here are the headlines.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, I just think that, you know, we can't give up transition lanes. I think we gave up 8 transition lanes, so that just kills you. I think we've got to, you know, get more people involved in the offense. I think Jaylen Brown has a lot to offer this group, and, you know, we just forgot about him and didn't really try to do anything to exploit his advantages. You know, but we've got to continue moving the ball. We got to continue to, you know, not just pound the ball so early. You know, we got to keep the foot on the gas when we have a lead. It's hard to regain the momentum once you lose it.
Hey everybody, 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. One way or another, you're going to hear this program. I'm going to get you. Johnny's going to get you with his hot takes. Rich is going to get you with his songs. And Fred's going to get you with a little something called Your Lady. U.S. Open going on right now, by the way. And I can tell you right now, Rory McIlroy, -1, leading the field.
Tyrell Hatton, I believe. Is that right?
No.
Hatton just bogeyed 2.
All you're right. Absolutely incorrect.
Okay.
I know there's a ton of money going in on Tiger Woods with his 40-1 odds, I think it was, before this all started. Is that right? 40-1?
I don't know. Hideki Matsuyama, though, is sitting even right now, tied for 6th. This course eats people up, my friend. This is a very, very difficult course. Maybe the most difficult course in the United States.
Winged foot, correct?
It is winged foot.
Yes.
It is in Maranek, New York.
Mm-hmm. Just outside of New York City.
Uh-huh. And it is very, very difficult. And you saw that. You saw Tiger Woods with an approach shot rolled about 40 feet downhill. So I take it he parred that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
On 2 at even par.
He's on to it even par. Now, Rich, we had Danny Ainge on yesterday, and he saw what we all saw, and that was at the end of the game, bad. They got completely out of their tempo. They got completely out of the strategy of sharing the ball, of swinging the ball, and it became an isolation game. And
yeah.
Danny Ainge was no fan of that either.
No, he wasn't. And one thing that obviously everyone's taking away from the last couple of games is what the hell's happened to Kemba Walker? And when we were talking to Danny yesterday, well, first of all, he doesn't seem too worried about Kemba in the long run.
Kemba hasn't played well. He is the first one to admit that. I think the defense and the opponents that we're playing have something to do with it. You know, he's got to figure it out, and I'm confident that he will. I think he's feeling well. Yeah, I think he's doing okay. I think they have big guards. Dragic is 6'4". He's strong. He's tough. Like, he's got more length. They're shrinking the floor. Our spacing needs to get a little bit better also to try to help him. Listen, I think that we'll figure that out. I'm not as worried about that.
There's a theory going around about Kemba. I don't think I subscribe to it, but I mean, the argument isn't ridiculous. You know, you had at the end of that Clippers game, and Doc Rivers called out his players, as he should have. You had star players who were begging to come out of the game because they were winded and they were exhausted. I don't know who does that in a game seven when the game is on the line, someone who just doesn't care. And Paul George said it himself. He said, we didn't feel that this was a championship or bust team, which is the last thing you want to hear as a Clippers fan or anybody who has anything to do with the Clippers organization come out your star player's mouth when you were up 3-1 in that series and ended up blowing, like, what, 3 double-digit leads, including a 19-point lead in the second-to-last loss that they had?
Yes.
So there's a theory that a lot of these teams, the fatigue is really kicking their ass. And if you see the way that they're playing, obviously, every other day, there's not any travel. So, I mean, there's that part of it's out of it. You know, taking that big, long break out, there was a theory that if you just take a look at the fact that most of Kemba's shots came up short, is that it's a matter of fatigue. And he's been playing a ton of minutes as well. I don't think that's the case. I also don't think he's injured. And we've had, you know, Danny doesn't think he's injured. And there's nothing that we've seen that would make you think that he is. So that's an idea that's being floated out there, is that this is kicking Kemba's ass almost more than the rest of the guys on this team. I don't know how you can just – I mean, he went from a great player to basically being a liability.
Well, then that's a Stevens problem, because if he's not – if he's not conditioned and he's running out, I mean, why did he lead the team in minutes in that double overtime game against Toronto? I mean,
it's a good point. Yeah.
He might lead the team in minutes this playoffs. I mean, he played, I think, 51 minutes in that double overtime game.
He's up there. I mean, look, early in this game, I played a clip from Daniel Tice earlier. They're going to make an effort to get Kemba the ball and get him going. And Danny Ainge, as you played coming back, Danny Ainge knows that the Celtics basically ignored Jaylen Brown down the stretch in an overtime, which is something you should never do because he's a very productive player. So you'll see Jaylen Brown get the ball more. You'll see Kemba Walker get the ball more. And the Celtics, if we learn anything from the Toronto series, a huge mistake like they had in game one won't be duplicated. That this team knows how to bounce back. They grew up in that playoff series against Toronto. And like Jason Tatum has said, he's been in the Eastern Conference Finals before in the big stage. It hasn't really fazed him all that much. I think the Celtics win tonight. I think they get Kemba and Jaylen Brown more involved. They continue to play great defense, and they win tonight.
Well, one thing that was kind of interesting was that yesterday Gordon Hayward was upgraded to doubtful for tonight's game, which I don't think anybody believes he's going to play. But, I mean, that's a step in the right direction. You know, you would think that there's a chance. Game three, game four, it obviously depends on how things go. But yesterday we asked Danny Ainge about that, and here's what he had to say.
You know, I know Gordon is getting better, but I honestly don't know when he's going to make the determination, you know, along with our medical staff, of when he's going to get back out on the court. I just don't know. It's a day-to-day thing, and we're hopeful that it's soon.
Now, yesterday we continued to talk to him about Gordon Hayward and asked if, you know, he has had any kind of recent discussions with him about his original plan of leaving the bubble. And once again, we talked about this earlier, and I just want to make sure I'm not putting words in his mouth, but the way that it sounded Danny Ainge was talking was that it might be dictated by circumstances regarding how well he's feeling as far as minutes that he's going to be able to play. Like, if his wife gives birth tomorrow, he's gone. He's going to leave the bubble. But if, let's say, it's game six and Gordon Hayward has been playing 15, 20 minutes and they've been meaningful minutes and he's been scoring and he's helped their team, then it sounds to me like Danny was insinuating that that might be a completely different mindset for Gordon Hayward if that's the case.
Well,
am I the only one who got that feeling when he was saying that, who read it that way?
I think there's some truth to that. I do. But if that's the case, then Gordon's going to stay. Because I just remember when the Celtics were bringing Kemba Walker back slowly. There were workouts without the team. There was, you know, a vigorous workout after practice. You remember this in March before the stop. You know, they were bringing him back and, you know, it was baby step after baby step. And that's exactly what Gordon Hayward's going through now. But it sounds to me like he is back no later than game four. I mean, I think there's a
decent shot he plays Saturday. I mean, if what you say is true, and I believe it is, then his wife better have the baby quick, because I think he's going to play real, real soon.
Sure. I mean, you know, even Danny Ainge was joking about a conversation that he had about her being induced, and you know, he joked about it, and people took it up and ran with it, and stories are written that he was being serious. He's not. But, I mean, come on, man. It's September. What are we doing? You said the baby was going to be born in September. Can you do it now? Can we do it now? I mean, you know, it's not really inducing if it's like a week early, is it? I mean, you know, everything's kind of, you're in that zone of safety. Right. I think you might be all right.
You know what? You've already had three kids. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's the thing is that you have already had three kids. And at first I was thinking that I would have gone to see the birth of my son, but now I'm thinking I wouldn't.
Round two, I would have gone. Like round two, I would have gone. Round three, this is, you are never, if you're Gordon Hayward, you're never going to get closer to win a championship than you are right now. I mean, it is wide open. You're playing in a league right now that doesn't have the Golden State guys playing. Yeah. You all of a sudden, Giannis is out.
There's no home court. I would say that's true for the most part, but then there's that huge monster in the other side of the bracket.
You're not beating the Lakers.
His name is LeBron James, and he's got another member of the Monstars with him. I mean, James and Anthony Davis both made All-NBA first team yesterday for a reason.
Yeah, you're not
That is a dangerous dragon that you got to slay, but getting to the finals is certainly a good possibility.
Yeah, right. I mean, at least you're in the dance. You know, you're there. Yes. You're in the finals.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And something crazy can always happen, you know?
Yeah, someone could get hurt.
Put it this way, if the Celtics and the Lakers, as I'm sure the folks in New York who are at the NBA central offices want, if the Celtics and the Lakers play each other in the finals, how big a favorite do you think the Lakers are going to be?
It'll be Lakers in five games will be the over-under.
Yeah. Put it this way.
Yeah, I mean, the Lifshatz special. It's the Lifshatz LeBron gimme. There's going to be one loss because Lifshatz says that LeBron likes to hook up his better friends. So they know which game that they're
going to be. Plus, there'll be wrangles galore because they're going to want to go more than
Scott
five games.
Foster, Tony Brothers, they're all going to be there. But
so Lakers in six. You're right, Fred. They're going to want to extend this thing. Absolutely. Oh, relish it a little bit. So wrangle fest for the next series. And I think we all agree that the Lakers are favored in that. But, I mean, as I said, no one's going to knock Gordon Hayward for leaving and doing this, because he said in no uncertain terms that he was going to do this. And he gave everyone the heads up, and no one should be shocked. But I mean, there are so many great benefits other than just winning to being in the finals if you're Gordon Hayward.
Sure.
Especially if you perform well.
Right.
It helps your brand. It helps your market. I mean, because, you know, his contract runs out fairly soon.
He's got a player option for next year.
Yep.
And the theory is, because I don't think the NBA cap is going to go up after this season. It's going to be flat or decrease.
You would take the option.
I would think that he'll exercise the option for one more year, because no one's going to give him more than he's going to make with the Celtics next season.
Yeah, you would take the player option, and it's interesting because if you like, once you've had a couple kids, like, what's the point of even being there?
It's his first son. It's his first son.
Yeah, but
big deal.
We
know with Gordon Hayward how much he wants a son. Remember?
Yes.
When they announced it was a girl, he's like, Daddy's always happy.
I know,
but he wants this.
You see a hee hee instead of a shishi. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you see a little bit of a tallywinkle instead of a foo-foo.
It's what Zoom is for. Come on.
I don't even know if you Zoom it. I mean, just like, all right, there it is. I mean, yeah, you're there. You cut. So what? Big deal. You cut the umbilical cord. I mean, your fourth one, your first one I see. But, you know, they got a lot of money. She's probably got 85 people that can be there. What's the point?
I was the fourth one. I don't even think my mom was there.
Just kind of
picked up off the floor and like, oh, you dropped something. Like, here we go.
Well, yeah, and if by the fourth kid, you should be pretty drugged up anyway if you're the lady.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have an epidural. You should have everything going crazy. I mean, really, what's the point?
You jump high enough, you're just shooting out. I mean, I don't think there's really much of a struggle anymore.
Nah, I mean, yeah, you're damaged goods at that point. I mean, you're passing the kids out like there's nobody's business. But yeah, I don't think I'd go. I think I'd stay in the bubble.
I still don't know. It just depends. It depends how the series is going. I mean, if they're tied 2-2 or something like that, it would be tough. And he's playing like decent minutes. That's a legitimate tough decision to make.
Yeah. It's a tough decision, but I would think that I'm talking about myself personally, that I would stay. Fourth kid, I mean, boy or girl, it doesn't really matter at that point. It is what it is. I mean, hopefully everything goes well.
Yeah, besides, he was already home. You know, it's not like he's been
missing. That's the other part of it.
He's been gone for long periods of time.
Great point. He's kind of already checked in. Yeah. And I don't know if you read her Instagram post that said that next time we see him, we'll have a little boy.
I read them. I read them like yesterday's tomatoes.
But, I mean, I don't know if that was kind of a I'm giving you permission to stay type of thing, but it could be interpreted that way. Next time we see you, we'll have a little man in the house.
So you're saying that she wears the pants in the family?
No, it's a decision between the two of them.
He's got to get a honey-do list done. No, if I'm him, she doesn't care if he's there or not. What does she care? I mean, she's probably got all kinds of family and everything. She's fine. That's what Danny said. That his wife didn't even want him there. That's what Danny said. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, if it was me, I don't think I'd go. I think I'd stay. I'd stay in the bubble. I'd soak up as much of the Magic Kingdom as I could. And I'd come back the happiest man in the world because I'd been in Disney World for that long. You know, you can play golf.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk.
And swim.
Apparently, that's what Spoelstra does, is he just walks.
They can fish with a stocked pond, those bastards.
Yeah.
He likes to catch something.
You catch anything yet?
No. Well, it's cheating.
How long have you been trying?
I called the fish place, and they have curbside, and I was like, hey, do you guys have any chum? And he went, chum? I'm like, yeah, I need something to put in the water to catch fish. He goes, nobody uses chum. What are you trying to catch, a shark? And I'm like, dude, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. And I fish a lot, and I catch nothing.
Mm. How long have you been trying?
Since, like, April.
Okay. Really? Okay.
I live in a fisherman's paradise. I was behind next to a boat where people were pulling them out of the water, and I catch nothing.
You're 0 for 5 months?
Yes. 0 for 5 months.
I can't catch bluefish?
That's got to be
some kind of
record.
They jump in the boat.
But there's bonito everywhere. I was actually like over a part of the water where I saw one jump. You can see where the birds are. That's where you go. And I saw one jumping out of the water, and I couldn't catch anything.
Mm. Well, you're not good at fishing.
I suck at fishing. And you know what? And to inspire myself, I joined a fishing tournament. I'm going out after the show. I'm going to try to catch fish.
What? Wait.
So are these guys with, like, big boats and everything, and you're going against them?
I'm going against everyone. It's just anyone who wants to do it.
How far out are you going to go?
Oh, man.
I went out really far the other day. Like, I was in 50-foot water. I was, like, in the ocean, and apparently near the Bonito Bar, where they all hang out, and nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm using all the stuff they tell me to use. I'm in all the places they tell me to be. The only thing I might be a little off on is I'm never there at sunrise and I'm never there at sunset because I'm afraid the sun's going to go down and I'm going to be stuck in the middle of the ocean.
I've seen, the father of a good friend of one of my kids, he fishes a ton. He enters in tournaments. I've seen his boat. I mean, those guys are serious.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they go out there. They got, like, 30-foot boats. They go out there, and they have they have chairs, and they have all these things.
You want to get better, you got to challenge the best, Johnny Walker. Come on.
Course.
I'm sure you'll get a nice shirt, and then you could wear it around and point to it.
I have a shirt. I got the shirt. Yeah. I put it out there. Yep.
Yeah, you can point to it and go, I was in a tournament.
Is it like a bowling shirt?
We have to break. Very good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.